Welcome to this podcast, part one on cholesterol management, dietary and nutritional strategies. My name is Christine Bailey, and I'm one of the nutritional practitioners at NutriLink. Now, while it's acknowledged that levels of cholesterol account for only a portion of the cardiovascular risk profile, many people are still very keen to employ dietary and nutritional strategies to improve their lipid profile. In this podcast, my focus is really to look at the dietary, nutrient, and supplement strategies that you may want to consider. And we're going to do this over two podcasts, part one and two. Now, it is worth mentioning that there are many other risk factors that can contribute to cardiovascular health. So any effort to lower your cholesterol to mitigate this will have most success when you combine it with other measures to reduce any other relevant factors, such as inflammation, oxidation, hypertension, excess plasma glucose, body weight, fibrinogen, excess homocysteine, low vitamin K, vitamin D, and so on. But the first place to start is always the diet. And there have been various strategies recommended, including the DASH diet, which is dietary approaches to stop hypertension, Mediterranean style of eating, and the National Cholesterol Education Program. Now, there are many common threads in these diets that are worth highlighting. Fiber intake is normally very high, up to 30 grams a day, with a focus on colourful vegetables, fruit, whole grains, nuts and seeds. And the inclusion of vegetables and fruits also means that potassium levels are normally quite high, which can be helpful for reducing hypertension, which can be another risk factor for cardiovascular disease. Fat intake is around about 25 to 30%, but with a focus rather on the monounsaturated fats, olive oil, avocado, nuts, seeds, and omega-3, oily fish, leafy greens, tofu, flaxseed, hemp, chia. And some plans also recommend adding in 2 grams of plant sterols a day. With regards to the carbohydrate, the focus tends to be more on whole grains with some vegetables and fruit, normally limited to about 50% of the diet, but some clinicians will recommend lower than this, particularly if there are signs of blood sugar imbalances. Now, another alternative that has been studied is calorie restriction, which involves reducing your calories every day. Now, this can be from 20 to 40%. Observational studies have tracked the effect of calorie restriction on lean, healthy people with around about 22 to 30% decrease in your overall calorie intake from normal levels, and have shown it improves heart function, reduces markers of inflammation, reduces risk factors for cardiovascular disease such as LDL cholesterol, triglycerides, blood pressure, and reduces diabetes risk factors such as fasting blood glucose and insulin levels. So that may be something to also consider. And certainly intermittent fasting may be something that people find more achievable. Now, there are nutrients to manage the lipid profile more generally. One of the first ones to look at is vitamin B5. This affects the body's fat and cholesterol metabolism pathways. And studies have shown that consumption of supplements of B5 have demonstrated significant reductions in both total and LDL cholesterol, up to about 13.5%, and an elevation in HDL, which is the protective cholesterol. Now, these were quite high doses, 900 to 1,200 milligrams a day, but they did also show significant effects on triglycerides at much lower doses of around 600 milligrams. Now, you may also have heard of red yeast rice. This is a traditional preparation of rice, and it's fermented by yeast, and the yeast produces metabolites called monacolins that are naturally occurring HMG-CoA reductase inhibitors. Now, one of these, which is quite similar to a commercial statin, is called monocholine K. and a comprehensive review of 93 randomized trials, including nearly 10,000 patients, has demonstrated that these supplements of red yeast rice have produced reductions in total cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, triglycerides, and an increase in HDL, the protective cholesterol. Another one to look at is garlic. This has been studied in various human trials, not only for its favorable change in blood lipid profiles, but also it can reduce blood pressure in hypertensive individuals. So garlic may again be another one to consider. Indian gooseberry, sometimes known as amla, has been used traditionally as a nutrient-dense food in Indian regions and in Ayurvedic medicine for treating a wide range of conditions. Now, in human studies, extracts of amla have actually been shown to slow down elevations in LDL, total cholesterol, and triglycerides, and boost the levels of protective HDL. It also is a very potent antioxidant. Now, this may also offer protective benefits by reducing oxidized LDL, which we know can be particularly harmful. The next strategy is to look at how we can inhibit absorption of dietary cholesterol. Now, cholesterol-lowering properties of soluble oat fiber, psyllium, pectin, guar gum, beta-glucans from barley, chitosan have all got plenty of support by many controlled human clinical trials. Now, soluble fiber lowers cholesterol through several mechanisms. They may directly bind bile acids or dietary cholesterol, which prevents their absorption. Their high viscosity and the effects on the intestinal motility may also slow or limit macronutrient uptake. And of course, they increase satiety, so they may limit your overall energy intake. Now, practically, this would mean including foods on a daily basis like soluble fiber-rich oats, barley, or other whole grains, beans, pulses, flaxseed, chia, psyllium, as well as some of the fruits such as apples and pears that are also very high in pectin fiber. And related to this would be prebiotics. These are a type of soluble fiber which are known for their ability to selectively ferment by the gut flora and for producing short-chain fatty acids such as acetate, butyrate. And it appears that these may inhibit cholesterol synthesis in the liver, particularly the prebiotics inulin and dextrin. Now, these are now readily available as powders, which you can add to your food, smoothies, or stir them into yogurt or stewed apple, for example. It's also worth talking about plant sterols. These are steroid compounds found in plants. They function similarly to cholesterol in animals. The sterols are poorly absorbed from the diet, but because of their chemical similarity, they are thought to compete with cholesterol for absorption in the intestines and therefore help with reducing LDL. Sterols may also reduce cholesterol production in the liver as well. Now, the recommendation is roughly to get 2 grams of plant sterols or stanols a day to significantly lower LDL cholesterol, and it will, from the studies, appear to lower LDL cholesterol by up to 10%. Another one to consider is guggle gum. This is a resin from a tree and has, again, traditional use in Ayurvedic medicine, and clinical research is somewhat limited, but it may appear to reduce cholesterol in modest amounts. And then finally, in this section, think about soya protein as well. This is known to have value as a lowering cholesterol properties because it is very effective in terms of the presence of the isoflavins it contains. And these may appear to increase the amount of LDL receptors, which then help to clear LDL particles from the blood. And of course, it's a valuable alternative to too much meat protein. And these benefits have been confirmed in a number of meta-analysis studies. So do try to include soya protein powders or foods like natto, tempeh, tofu, edamame beans, and ideally consuming 25 grams of soy protein a day